Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be with you this morning. I am grateful for Pastor Tony's invitation to allow me to come and speak with you this morning and be in worship with you as he is away on vacation. I have to tell you, as he told me what they were planning to do, I was tempted to go with him, and we could let Bud or somebody else fill in for you this morning. It sounded like they were going to have a great trip, so we are sending our prayers with Tony and the family as they travel around and get a wonderful chance to refresh and renew. You've heard the words of Scripture. You've sung the hymns that were chosen this morning. We've already heard a lot about armor this morning. I have to tell you, I didn't realize there were that many hymns already that had the word armor in it, that talked about putting on the armor of God. But it is an image that is one that Paul uses, and he uses it very well. But before we get to that, let me ask you another question. Have you seen the television show What Not to Wear? Have you ever seen that? Haven't watched it? Some of you have. It's this wonderful or terrible show, depending on your point of view. It's one of those, I guess you would say, reality shows. And unfortunately for the intended victim, they're ratted out by their well-meaning friends. Their friends conspire against them to videotape them unknowingly, and they catch them in all these wonderful moments when they're dressed as their friends wish they wouldn't. You know, sometimes we have to just love our friends in spite of how they think about us. But then they gather them together and they play this video with the intended victim there, mostly mortified and wishing they could go under the floor instead of sitting there watching. All these wonderful moments when this didn't look just right or that didn't look like they thought it would. And there's always one of those moments when the host of the show will look at, and generally it's women, though they do have some shows for men as well, will look at the person and say, "What were you thinking when you put that outfit on?" You know, we've all had those moments later when we looked back and thought, "What were we thinking when we wore this or that? It didn't come off quite the way we intended." Sometimes the victims of this show really don't care that much about their appearance. That's not their first priority. Sometimes they dress the way they do because they just don't know how to put clothes together the way others think they should. As I was thinking about that for this morning's sermon, I had to chuckle to myself. I have a former associate who is now serving in a church on the Eastern Shore, and I thought, she is one person that will never, ever, ever find herself a victim of this show. This person dresses so beautifully every time. She's color coordinated. Her shoes match her outfit, which matches her bag, which matches her earrings and her necklace, and everything just fits together just so. And I remember, after seeing her day after day come in that way, thinking, I just never spend that much time on my wardrobe. I never spend that much time worrying about what I'm going to wear, but obviously it works for her. I remember the Sunday morning as we were going into worship, and she switched to her robe, which was a black robe, and I watched as she changed her shoes to make sure that the shoes now matched her robe and not the outfit that she was wearing. I just don't go there, as you will be able to tell when you see my brown shoes with my black robe. What not to wear is one of those things that catches us sometimes. Did we put on what we meant to put on? And Paul's not talking about the clothes, but he's certainly talking about the armor, the protection. And so as we've sung the hymns this morning, as we hear that word armor, what comes to your mind? Do you get a mental picture? Is there a visual image that you get to go along with the word? Maybe you see in your mind's eye a medieval knight decked out from head to toe and hands and those pictures that we have seen along the way of the shield over his face and all of every inch of his body covered in armor. Or maybe you think of an armored car or a tank when you hear the word armor, or a soldier or a police officer or a firefighter, someone who puts on that protection in the hopes and the prayer of making themselves safe. Sometimes that armor works really well. Sometimes it's helpful and it does exactly what we want it to do. But oftentimes the armor doesn't stop everything, as they have found out in years as we have watched over and over as something new is developed. Then there is a new weapon that is used against it. For a long time we thought Kevlar was the answer to so many things, and then it turns out that Kevlar only works in some cases. But also one of the downfalls to that type of armor that we think of today is that it doesn't cover your whole body. It doesn't cover your face and your arms and your legs. It just covers that main part of your body. But it turns out, as there are new weapons developed, that there are folks out there working hard to develop new ways of protecting us from those terrible things. The University of Delaware teamed up with the Army Research Lab, and they're working on a new kind of body armor. And it was interesting reading about this in one of the commentaries, because I remember watching this demonstration on television and just being amazed at how the process worked. This body armor is very different from anything that we have seen before. Instead of being like Kevlar and the fibers that connect together, it's a sheer thickening liquid. It's a fluid that stiffens as it is attacked, as something hits it. It absorbs that impact, and then once that impact is gone, it returns back to a liquid, a fluid form. It's an amazing thing, and as I watched that on television months and months ago, I remember wondering how in the world someone thought to come up with that, how you can take a liquid and cause it to solidify at just the right moment, and then to relax when the threat is gone. As Paul's writing to the Ephesians, they would have thought more about Roman soldiers and the armor that they wore, heavy metal and leather, something that was inflexible and mostly covered the front of their body. So if you turn to retreat, your armor would not protect you, something I'm sure that their commanders reminded them often. You're only protected as long as you're defending. If you retreat, you're on your own. But it also brings about that picture that as they stood together, as they were one unit, that Roman army was almost impenetrable, because they would stand shoulder to shoulder and armor would connect to armor. And as long as they were together facing that enemy, then there was great protection for them. But this armor that we want to talk about today is a little different. Paul uses that armor metaphor to talk about a spiritual warfare. His armor included items that the soldier would have worn, but he put a little twist on it. He took those words from the Roman soldier's armor and used them in this way. He used them in a way to call believers to prepare to go against not the Roman army, but spiritual enemies. Paul calls them to stand together, to be joined as the body of one community, the body of believers, those who have come to be Christ's followers. Paul lists the parts of armor and names them for the assault that is to come before them. He asks them to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the boots that were a half boot that would make it easier for them to walk and to move, shield of faith, and the sword, which is the word of God. Most of us don't deal with putting on armor in any form these days. It's not something that we have to worry about, at least not the kind of armor that police officers and firefighters and soldiers use in day-to-day life. But there is a different armor. There's a different type of armor that so often we use, different armor that we put on that fits well with what Paul is talking about. In our day-to-day life, in our sense, we use armor to protect ourselves in other ways. We'll go back to that clothes metaphor that I was talking about at the beginning. We use clothes to either dress ourselves up or dress down. Dress ourselves up so when we see the boss or when we go in for that interview or when we're trying to make a first impression, it will protect us from what they might think or say about us. Or maybe we dress down. We dress in a way that causes others to think that we don't fit in because we want to use that as a way of protecting ourselves. If you look at me and think I look unkempt or I dress in a way that causes you to think I'm a part of a gang or a different group, then you'll leave me alone and my armor, my clothes, have done their job. They've caused me to keep you out, which is one of the main reasons that we wear armor, to keep other people out. Our homes sometimes are we use as armor. We put them around us to protect us. I can go in and I can lock the doors and I can keep the people I don't want to meet or see or know. I can keep them out. And we think as long as we're in here, we can be kept safe. And for those who have the desire and the money and the thought to do so, within even their own home, they put in a safe room, a panic room, somewhere they can go and lock themselves in. So if someone happens to get inside, then I can still be safe. I can go into my special room that you can't find, that you can't get in. For some folks, buying homes and living in that gated community gives them that sense of protection, that sense of being armored. There is then a code or a guard at the gate that you have to get past so that you can still be protected from others. Sometimes our armor comes in the form of an attitude. Have you ever met someone whose attitude was so angry or so defiant that you were put off and you didn't really want to be involved with them anymore? That attitude may not look like armor, but it certainly is. Or maybe you know someone on the other end, that person who's the class clown, the one who's always telling the jokes and doing the things that keep you off guard because you don't get to have a serious moment. They want to be sure that you don't really know what's inside. Not all of them, but many of them, because they're afraid if you see inside, then you won't like what you see. And so the clowning and the humor and putting people off that way, keeping them at arm's distance, works instead as the armor. Maybe it's a job that you use as your armor. If you go to work and you come home and you can keep people out by being too busy or being so impressive with the position that you have, you want the job, what you do, to overshadow who you are. The cars we drive say a lot about us. I drive a Jeep Cherokee so that I can be a little better protected when I'm on the road. And on the way here this morning, I thought I was going to give you a call and say, I'll be late, because the guy in the minivan, I think he wants my space in this lane. I watched as he came over and over and over and realized about 30 seconds too late. You should have honked the horn. My armor wasn't helping too much at that moment. Sometimes what we drive causes us to be protected from others. I always thought, I didn't look to see if anybody's driving a Hummer. If you are, I'll take my licks later. But I thought that's what Hummers were all about. If I drive a Hummer, I'm in something that's big enough and protected enough, and you can't hurt me no matter what happens. But even as we look at the armor that we put on, the way in which we try and protect ourselves, none of these things that I have listed, none of them will protect us from the kind of attack that Paul was talking about. None of this armor will keep us safe. You see, Paul's talking about putting on that which will protect us from forces that aren't so easily and readily identified. They're those things that tempt us, that draw us away from the will of God. The forces he's talking about are those things that would cause us to sin, in that biblical word. The way that we respond when we're given a choice to do what's right or to compromise our values and our beliefs and go in a different direction and choose something that may be easier, but it may be wrong. Do you remember this biblical story of David? David, as he goes out to face Goliath, shows up and he wonders why no one has gone and slain this giant yet. He's a young boy, but yet he has the faith of someone much older than his years. Do you remember the story and how it talks about King Saul as he finds out that David's going to go out and face this giant, Goliath, who has been terrorizing them and no one was brave enough to fight? Saul offers him his armor and David begins to put it on. And it doesn't take long for David to realize that if he wears this armor, he's not protected nearly as well as he is without it. If we put on armor that's not ours, if we put on armor that doesn't fit, it does us no good. So David puts aside the armor that's given to him for protection. And instead, he goes out dressed in his regular clothes with a rock and a slingshot. And in the end, he prevails because the armor he had was the armor of God, the armor that Paul talks about. In the end, David was wise enough to know that he already had the protection he needed. He was already prepared for battle because of the armor of God that he was wearing. But then I also think about the Apostle Paul. Paul is traveling around and he's going from place to place and he ends up on that road to Damascus. And I don't believe there's any armor of that day that he could have put on that would have kept God from getting his attention that day on the road to Damascus. That blinding light that caused him to stop and to reconsider all that he was about and where his faith was and what he was to do. Armor needs to be the correct armor for us. So what about us today? What about the suit of armor that we would wear? Do we want something that's made of steel and leather and something that we think will protect us? Maybe we're looking to Kevlar or we're going to hold out for this new armor, that liquid that will bend and mold and strengthen at just the right moment. I don't think any of those armors will protect us from what Paul is talking about. I think we need something more. We need to remember that there are forces in our life that come and work to prevail against us. But we are called to protect ourselves. We're called to draw on those same forces, work in that same way that Paul was talking to the church at Ephesus. We're called to be a part of that larger community, to be the church, the body of Christ, and draw some of our strength and protection from there. While we may not stand in those moments shoulder to shoulder physically, by being a part of that community of faith, we stand together shoulder to shoulder, even in our absence, as we lift each other up in prayer, as we know that we can call those who are part of our community of faith, that we can share those things that we have been blessed with. We can put on the gifts of faith and truth and knowledge, of righteousness and salvation, and we can use the Word of God in ways that will turn away all those adversaries. We're not alone in wanting to be protected. We're not alone in wanting to be safe. But one of the challenges is, for those outside of the faith, is that they're looking for some magic bullet. Maybe if I believe, then nothing bad will ever happen again. Anybody here not been faced with a struggle or a trial or a temptation that you thought wouldn't come your way? One of the things that is a part of our life as Christians is the knowledge that there is no magic potion that takes place, that we drink, that covers us when we become Christians. The armor of God isn't about magic, but it is about strength and power and love and grace. Because you see, even though we are surrounded by that armor of God, even though we're protected, we know that those days will come. We deal with those days of frustration and depression and sickness and tribulation. And Christians still lose their jobs, and Christians still have to pay their bills. And life goes on, even when it doesn't go the way that we thought it would. But we don't go there alone. It's one of the assurances of putting on that armor of God. We know that we stand with others, and that the prayer comes to cover our needs, and that even though we struggle, we will be strengthened because God doesn't leave us alone, and God doesn't leave us in a terrible place, but God uses those moments to draw us together and to raise us up, and to enable us to be stronger and more powerful. And there comes the love and the grace and the assurance. So now that you know what not to wear, my question for you this day is, how will you dress? How will you dress, and what will you wear for all the days ahead for the rest of your life? May we pray. Oh God, your armor is there for us, and it doesn't look like we think it should. It doesn't show to others oftentimes in the way that we hope it would. And we still face days of trial and struggle and confusion. But we know that when we draw upon you, that your strength is sufficient for all our days. We know that the power that comes from your love and your grace goes with us, not just when we are in church, not just when we're in this building, but everywhere we go, we draw on your protection. Strengthen us, empower us, help us to stand with each other and to stand strong in the faith. Amen.